we have several conversations that are kind of, or some that are, but some that are sort of COVID related. You're hearing in the news about the bivalent vaccine now being made available. We've heard some of the comments from Casey Maggio about vaccine mandates and about travel mandates and all that. So we can talk about a bunch of that stuff coming up this morning. But do you remember, it's almost 2.5 years ago, isn't it, that when that whole pandemic started to kick in, the rush to try and find some kind of a vaccine, some kind of a protection. And then from there on, researchers, scientists around the world have just been, were just dug in trying to come up with an answer or at least some kind of answer. And they did. Like, that vaccine came out fast. Some people still say it was too fast, but there was solid science behind it. And there were some amazing heroes in that research world, including a whole bunch of Canadian scientists who played an extraordinary role.
Yeah, and I don't think that we honor our Canadian researchers and scientists nearly enough. So let's get into some of the accomplishments that they were able to make throughout the pandemic. Our guest is a professor of medicine at McGill University. Dr. John Bergeron is joining us. Doctor, good morning. Thank you so much for being on the show. Welcome.
Thank you so much.
So tell us a little bit about the Canada Gardner International Award. This is a predictor, generally considered a predictor of the Nobel Prize, and it has recognized some Canadians that have made some pretty significant contributions to medicine and science over the pandemic.
Yes, so the most recent award was given to Peter Cullis, who's at the University of British Columbia. And I followed his work for decades, and he developed all of the work for the lipid coverings of the mRNA vaccines that are used for the vaccinations that were so successful. Another investigator, Canadian, is Nahum Sonnenberg, who was also recognized previously with a Gardner International Award for his work on messenger RNA, and in fact, he was a consultant to Moderna, where they developed their messenger RNA for the vaccines that are encapsulated by the discovery of Peter Cullis. And this has been a tremendous success.
Are these standout accomplishments in the field of science and medicine, or does this just point to an industry that is making huge breakthroughs and making waves that maybe the majority of Canadians aren't aware of?
I'm going to use an Edmonton analogy, if I may. Mm-hmm. You recall the years of Wayne Gretzky and Mark Messier in Edmonton?
Now you're speaking our language.
That's right. That was talent. So Peter Cullis and Nahum Sonnenberg is that kind of talent. It comes along, these are geniuses. And it's that talent that we were so fortunate to have to enable these vaccines to be developed. I just want to point out that in an article Kathleen Dixon and I published recently, we pointed to the study that documented that in 2021 alone, the vaccine saved over 310,000 lives in Canada.
Wow.
Well, that's hero land, right? And I think that's sort of the point that you're trying to make, that there are some people who are unsung heroes who have been busily working in what is the background of the rest of us, but who have made a major, major impact on our country and the world.
Yes, but Edmonton is a world-class center for this. In 2020, the Nobel Prize in Physiology or Medicine was given to the University of Alberta to Mike Houghton for his discovery of hepatitis C. And you have Lauren Terrell, Rick Ratjubinski at the University of Alberta. These are all in that category.
Can you give me an idea whether this is a competitive world? Are different researchers sort of competing both for grant money, for research money, to try and get to an answer first? Or is it a more cooperative situation where people are sharing their research around the world and then building off other researchers as well? How does it work?
So the discovery research is usually shared and pretty open. It's the discovery research that Peter Cullis was involved in Nahum Sonnenberg, and that leads to the applications of the vaccines that Peter Cullis was involved in all the way to the company that he founded in order to develop exactly how the vaccines would enter our bodies. Mm. Now, for the discovery research, Kathleen Dixon and I have published another article where we document that in the National Institutes of Health that funds their discovery research, all of the approved drugs that the pharmaceutical companies made came from that entity. And right now in Canada, that supports our discovery researchers, we are only at about 2% of the funding comparatively to the NIH in the United States. That means the Americans fund their discovery researchers for health, discoveries for all the cures, including cancer that you featured earlier, five times more per person than we do in Canada. And this means our talent is not going to stay here. They're going to leave.
Yeah, this was going to be my question, because we talk about so many issues that plague, you know, the health industry in general, but I think a large portion of that sort of gets forgotten is the research sector. So, I mean, what's being done to sort of push for more funding, or, you know, sound those alarms to try to get government support?
So, if I may, there is an effort going on right now, and if your listeners wish to participate, we would be most grateful, and that's hashtag Can Fund Science. And if they were willing to retweet that, they would see what it is that we're trying to accomplish in order to assure the appropriate funding for the federal research that funds research across Canada in everything, including the humanities, the psychologists, the economists, everyone that's necessary in order to deal with all of our crises, including, of course, our health crises and the next pandemic.
Yeah, pretty easy to remember. Can Fund Science,
fund
the hashtag.
Science. Hashtag Can Fund Science.
Got it. Dr. Bergeron, thank you so much for your time this morning. Thanks for raising this and raising some awareness about those heroes working in labs behind the scenes all across our country.
And the heroes at the University of Alberta in Edmonton. Thank you.
Canada may be known for its landscapes and friendly people, but beneath the surface lies a darker side of crime, history, and the paranormal. Since 2017, the award-winning Dark Poutine podcast has explored the shadowy corners of the Great White North and beyond, delivering chilling tales from a uniquely Canadian perspective. Hosted by Mike Brown and Matthew Stockton, with over 300 episodes and fresh releases every Monday, Dark Poutine is your weekly ticket to the creepier side of Canada. Listen to Dark Poutine on Apple, Spotify, Amazon Music, or wherever you get your podcasts.